right. It is Tuesday, August 18th, folks. There is no doubt about that. NFL news, though. Jets running back Breece Hall expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks, but be ready for the opener. And, you know, this is one of those things where I go back and forth with people a lot. It's like, why would you ever have a fantasy draft before preseason is over? You know, not that injuries aren't allowed to happen after September the 2nd or the 3rd, for example, but it's like you avoid an entire month of joint practices and preseason games and ramp-ups, you know, when you get to September 2nd or 3rd. So, again, guys can get hurt 3rd, 4th game of the season, but you're already past a very vulnerable time because it's ramp-up and it's joint practices and it's preseason. So why would anybody want to do that? You know, there are some people out there who love having July fantasy football drafts. You know, I'm really not one of them because it just feels like it's an unnecessary headwind risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, guys get hurt. Guys get hurt in the preseason. It does happen. It doesn't happen a ton, but it does happen. And, you know, again, he'll be ready in 2 to 3 weeks, according to Aaron Glenn. But, you know, you do already worry. Could that be a lingering thing for Breece Hall? I mean, this is supposed to be a big year for him. They give him a big deal, $40-plus million deal. They don't trade him at the deadline last year. And now he's already coming in, you know, hampered with a groin strain. So expected to be ready for the regular season is the news there. Couple of other things around the NFL. Keenan Allen has been signed by the Indianapolis Colts. Something weird must be going on there with Alec Pierce. He has not been around. He got paid. Remember, he got a deal that most people probably wouldn't even believe right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he has not been around, and he underwent offseason ankle surgery. Michael Pittman is a Steeler.
Steeler.
So
yeah.
You need help for Daniel Jones, and they have brought it on in the form of Keenan Allen, who signed a deal, a 1-year deal worth up to $8.32 million. I mean, listen, you know what you're getting from him. He's a 34-year-old vet receiver who can move the chains and won't drop passes and is going to get probably no separation at 34 years old. Like, that's – I mean, he was decent with the Bears, right?
I want to tell you, he led us in touchdowns that year, like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. Useful.
He was – yeah, that's right. He's useful. He's a solid player. He's a veteran. He's going to work. He's going to be focused. He's going to do his job.
Can probably – I mean, probably help a young quarterback, you know, right, at this stage of his career is probably what he's best – most apt to do.
Yeah, in 2024, he had 7 touchdowns and 744 yards. Last season, he had 777 yards and 4 touchdowns with the Chargers. So, touchdowns.
Went back to the Chargers.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's fine.
He's going to, at some point, he's going to have to hang it up and transition.
He will.
And I mean to the next phase of his career.
He will.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's going to be analyst-type material.
Yeah.
Because Steve Smith seemingly got that spot over at ESPN sewed up, but we'll see. I will say, salute to him on a fantastic career.
Yeah.
It feels like a Raider.
Yes.
You know, maybe a late addition.
Keenan Allen was first in the NFL in receiving first downs and receptions on third down.
Dude, there was a while where he was a fantasy beast.
Yes, there was.
Because of his receptions.
Yes.
The number of.
Exactly.
So. Those were his Charger days.
They mostly were. He is 13th all-time in receptions in league history.
Yep,
made the Pro Bowl 6 times.
I mean, it's been a pretty good career.
Yeah. I mean,
you're talking about an average-sized dude, right? I mean, I'm watching him now on there. He wasn't some guy that brought a ton of physical tools to the game.
Yes.
A bunch of dedication and great route running.
Yep.
Is what Keenan's been.
Yep. 6'2", 211. I mean, he's not a small guy by any stretch of the imagination, but he's not Calvin Johnson.
Wow. Most receptions before turning 34, only Larry Fitzgerald more than him.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the list. Witten, Davante Adams, Andre Johnson, all beneath him. DeAndre Hopkins. Wow.
I mean, he's been in the league so long, he played for the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, as you know, it's a long time ago.
That was 2016 was the last time they were, and he had been in the league for 4 years then. So he's been around
for a
long, long time. What draft class would he have been in? That would have been the 2013 NFL draft. Sometimes I'm curious. I go back and I like, who's still playing? You know, how many guys from this draft are still around? And the answer is really not many.
Oh, my big guy that's unfortunately just had an accident. His brother murdered their mom, but he's still playing. You know, I'm talking about played 20 years. The lineman, shoot. The big guy.
Who's he play for?
It was Baltimore, I thought, most recently. He's been in the league 20 years. He's coming back. Defensive lineman, man. Still active and still doing well. Then there's Trent Williams, the offensive lineman.
Calais Campbell.
Thank you, Brad.
Calais
Campbell,
wow.
who I think his brother just ended up
very unfortunate.
Was in an accident, was the most recent news we saw on Calais Campbell. Lost his mom, but he's coming back. The news was announced, I think, just before that happened, that he's coming back for like a 20th season. Or
that's 21st. He was part of the 2008 draft.
There you go. I mean, you have to say him every year because he keeps coming back. I mean, that's the oldest dude in the league, I think. I mean, and then Trent Williams is somewhere right after him.
If you look at the 2013 draft, which is the one that Keenan Allen was a part of, Lane Johnson is still playing. He was the fourth overall pick.
He's, yeah, offensive line.
And that's going to be about it for that draft class. Other than, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, I think he's still around, right? No.
I don't know if he's sending in his retirement papers, but
he's coaching the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets now.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Definitely has moved on.
Wide receiver coach. So DeAndre
But he
Hopkins,
played last year, though,
he
right?
did play last year. He did play last year. Let's see. I'm trying to think of who else. Zach Ertz done.
I feel like he's still out there.
I know he played last year.
Yeah, he's got the wife that plays U.S. soccer, right?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Julie. I think he's still playing. I thought I saw a story about them that he's still going.
Well, he's towards ACL.
Confirms 26 plans. Yeah, he's going to sit. I guess sit out.
Yeah, I mean he just he so. Yeah,
so it's probably done.
Yeah, Geno Smith.
Geno Smith
still playing from that 2013 class. But man, it just speaks to Keenan Allen's, you know.
This thing says Zach Ertz wants to be back, but who knows at that age.
Travis Kelce is still going.
There you go.
What about Honey Badger? No, Honey Badger retired. I feel like I read that pretty recently. So you have so many of these guys who are out, who are done. So, Kyle Juszczyk, I believe, still going, right? Yep.
Yeah, I just saw him.
Yep. So there's maybe 10 guys total. Maybe a little fewer than 10 that are still going in the NFL from that class. But Keenan Allen still getting contracts at 34 years old. He's going to try to help the Indianapolis Colts. So there's your NFL news on a Tuesday.
All right. So, Brad, you were mentioning this the other day, Netflix and the job they did on the Field of Dreams game, and that everything Netflix has done sports-wise so far, I think for the most part, maybe exaggerating a little bit with the everything, for the most part, we've liked it. We've liked the presentation and everything else. The numbers were down this year off their Field of Dreams game. In its first year broadcasting an MLB special event game, Netflix drew an average of 1.66 million viewers for the league's return to the Field of Dreams, according to Nielsen. The game Thursday night between the Phillies and Minnesota Twins was the first the Field of Dreams movie site in Dyersville, Iowa in 4 years. Phillies would go on to beat the Twins 7-1. Overall, the 1.66 million viewers represents a steep decline from the first two Field of Dreams games in 2022, Cubs-Reds, if you remember, that matchup on Fox averaged 3.1 million viewers in 21. It was the Yankees and White Sox. That one was 5.9 million viewers. So I just wonder if it's a deal where we've seen it. We like it. We like the way it's been put on. But those numbers have dropped considerably. This the third time. Last year's Speedway Classic, another special event game, averaged 1.6 million viewers on Fox. And the 2024 game at Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama, averaged 2.5 million viewers. Viewership for this year's Field of Dreams game featured a median age of 46, the youngest for an MLB special event game. That is in line with other events broadcast via the streaming service. This is Netflix's first season partaking in MLB broadcasts. An opening night game between the Yankees and San Francisco averaged 2.97 million viewers on the streaming platform. We like it, but they're going to have to get used to lower numbers than I think what was initially anticipated or hoped for.
Right.
That said, I figure it's still got a place. There's enough viewers still watching that it's still got a place here. These special event games. Major League Baseball likes them enough. They're enough outside the box in terms of, you know, what you're bringing to the table that I think, you know, even as you try to draw younger fans, as the article points out, you know, that's something that you want to do whichever way is possible. So I suppose we'll keep seeing these, but at least for now, it feels like some of the luster has come off.
Yes.
From when they initially started broadcasting these games.
Yes. It is one of those things where I remember, like, the was it Tim Anderson for the White Sox?
Yeah.
Had like a great catch or something along those lines, right? I can't remember exactly. you know, what it was. But
I believe Tim did have a big play.
Yeah. And
that would have been the Yankees White Sox game, maybe in that first one in 21, John. What a steel trap you have for me.
Yeah, and since then I haven't paid attention.
For a mind to be able to remember that.
Is Tim Anderson still in the
that
league?
That random baseball memory from 21 that you have there.
The cornfield, right?
I think Tim had a big game in that one. I don't know if he went running off into the corn catching a ball. I wonder maybe he hit a home run or something.
Yeah, I mean, like that was his.
I feel like you're not just making that up.
No, that's what it was. He walked off the Yankees. They called it the stalk off.
How could I forget?
I mean, I remember that scene.
Right. It'll never be like that again, will it?
You know, probably not.
Tim's out of baseball.
See? I mean, but he'll always have that moment.
Yeah.
The stalk off.
Stalk off was cool.
You know, Field of Dreams. Mm. You know, baseball movies never spoke to me as a child. They just didn't.
Did you try Field of Dreams, though? Probably just didn't.
I think I tried Angels in the Outfield. I think that's the one I did.
Is that like Danny Glover?
I think and Keanu Reeves or George, one of the two.
Keanu's in that?
One of the, like maybe Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I don't know.
Danny Glover, Gordon-Levitt, McConaughey,
Tony
Danza, Christopher Lloyd, William Deere.
Yeah.
Was Keanu in there?
No.
Okay, so that was the one just made up.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. McConaughey's in there. I mean, it's, you know. So Angels in the Outfield is the one that I remember. I don't remember the real.
More of a kids movie, if I recall.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And you, Brad, your favorite baseball movie growing up?
Major League.
Willie Mays Hayes
here. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Joe Boo. When there were a lot of socially inappropriate things in that movie that you can no longer do in movies.
Yep. Dennis Haslett was Joe Boo.
Yeah. You're making fun of religion and different like stereotypes. People made fun of themselves. The crazy old coach who's grabbing himself and pissing on the lineup card. Like, they don't do all that stuff anymore.
Did you ever see The Natural with Robert
Redford?
Oh, of
course. Okay. Terrific movie.
Hits it into the lights.
Yeah, very good.
Remember that one, John?
Yeah.
Yep, I do. I remember it.
Second best baseball movie was probably the Brad Pitt movie about the what is it called? The one where they changed the A's. Remember the?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about what you call ball? Moneyball.
Moneyball. That's Moneyball. Probably. Number two is Moneyball.
Now, John, what was that one where the kid, is Gary Busey in it? He's like, it's a Cubs thing. He throws it from the outfield. And all, he's got like a monster. He's got a crazy arm.
Rookie of the year.
There you go.
Year,
yeah. Now, I feel like that's right up John's alley.
Did you like that one, John?
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, baseball movies just didn't, you know, they didn't reach me in that way. Now, I'm not trying to diminish Field of Dreams. I know it made a cultural impact on so many.
Moonlight Graham.
I will say the one I liked, though, was The Sandlot. That was the one.
Yeah, another great kids movie.
Yeah, I mean, I was a kid.
Yeah, those were heyday movies for me, too. I
now,
love
James
all of them.
James Earl in that, too?
Yeah.
I believe he is.
Yes, he is.
He's the owner of the dog.
Yeah.
And he's also in Field of Dreams.
Yeah. The irony of Field of Dreams that you guys see, did you guys watch Field of Dreams game this year? Probably not. Because there's
not
a million people
watching.
We were
part of the lower ratings, us not watching.
Jeffrey told me he didn't realize it was on Netflix. A lot of people, I think, missed it. Because of the Netflix, going to a different thing. It's not mainstream in some senses because they didn't really market it that way. Yep. But the fact that FanDuel was a sponsor of the Field of Dreams game, and that Field of Dreams, the movie, is about a team that was busted for gambling in the 1919 White Sox.
Shoeless Joe.
Yeah, the irony of it was because it was all over, plastered on that game. It was kind of interesting, little twist of fate.
Yeah, Sandlot had the, Wendy Peppercorn. Of course.
How could you forget Wendy Peppercorn?
The lifeguard, in the red bathing suit.
It was a hot number back in the day.
And then you had the Forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
That's great.
Sandlot was,
classic.
It is a classic.
We need a Sandlot game. That's what we need.
Yes.
Because Field of Dreams has run its course. That is what we are saying with our ratings.
That's what the numbers are telling.
I think that there's a market for it because it's such a brand, in my opinion. I think that the teams this year were sort of off. The Phillies and the Minnesota Twins. You get the Cubs in there. You get the Cardinals in. Cardinals have never done it. I thought that the game that you mentioned in the ratings, which was the Speedway Classic thing.
Yes, Speedway.
First of all, they jacked that all up logistically. It was too big and unwieldy.
Just 1.6 for Fox.
It rained. I mean, it was a mess. Yeah. Just too much.
Yeah. Yeah, it clearly was. But I'm sad to hear. I'm sad to hear that the ratings have plummeted. Maybe they got to get not this version of Josh Baez. 3 days ago, Josh Baez.
He's 0-16 since that game.
That's pretty amazing, man.
He can't hit now. What did I tell you?
Is this why he was in the minors for 5 years?
You said it.
The homeboy acted like it was a home run contest, and now he can't hit.
I'll give it to you. You definitely were not a believer.
I was trying to lean toward future star, but I'm looking real wrong here.
Swinging hard. He's swinging really hard.
Well, that's all part of the
boomer bust. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you who a real star is. His name is Pete Crow Armstrong, and he hit a leadoff homer and a walk-off homer yesterday in the Cubs' 10-inning win over the hated White Sox.
He's
also
a hitter.
Also, Shohei, 2 home runs for him.
Yes.
So the MVP race in the NL. And as Drew pointed out, my man Pete Crow Armstrong's war, his wins above replacement, what he does defensively, really he's got a real chance to win this thing.
Yes.
I thought just the pitching alone would put Ohtani over the top in the end, but no. Pete Crow, if he keeps hitting these home runs, winning games, stealing bases, he's 30-for-30 now. He's got 30 home runs and 30 stolen bases. He's done that twice, back-to-back seasons. No Cub had done that. Pretty darn amazing.
He's a great player.
For the son of actors, of Hollywood actors, to be this good at baseball, it's kind of weird.
He's kind of a new prototype, you know, going back to that Mike Trout type. Of course, he stayed healthy. Trout did not, although Trout will be a Hall of Famer. Like, it's that sort of shorter, stockier body, can blow the ball out of the field, but can run like
fast,
a gazelle.
Though. That's what
can
I'm saying. He's
fast.
Got super speed.
Yeah, yeah. That's a nice archetype there. I saw several players drafted this year with a lot like that.
Yeah.
So I just think, like, with the ratings plummeting, you know, it's just time to pivot to a different baseball film. You know, you could do that. You could do like a different, you know, film. There's a lot of great baseball movies out there that people love. You don't have to just do Field of Dreams. You can mix that thing up, bro. Play that thing on a old ass dirt pitch, you know? People would love that. Like backyard baseball, do that. I mean, why not? What are you gonna miss out on, you know?
I think we should go over there and play with Brad at Gagliano.
There you go.
Gagliano, brother. Yeah,
especially as nice
legendary.
As you've got that thing over there now.
Yeah.
And Lauzan takes care of it.
Play that thing at the Millington Olympic Baseball.
Oh, well, yeah.
USA
what about
Stadium?
USA? You were just trumpeting it. How great it is
it
over
is
there.
Great.
It is great. Yeah. It's a great facility, John.
Brad Carson Classic, man. We can put it at the Millington Baseball Field, bro. There you go.
I think Brad
Jim
likes
Abbott
the sound
back in
of
the
that.
Day was that was his stomping grounds, you know?
The Brad Carson Classic.
Yeah. It is crazy, though, that Josh Baez's career is already over. Like, he literally just broke the record. He was the best ever debut, and now his career is already over. I mean, baseball is totally over.
Y'all crowned him too early. I certainly was part of that. I feel guilty and ashamed.
That's the difference between a baseball. I'm a complete casual, don't even pay attention. I came here and I said, Brad, it's time to stop being cynical and start believing.
First thing you said to me.
God forbid. The guy goes on and, like,
doesn't have a hit since.
0-16.
Can't hit. Can't hit now.
Too much pressure.
No, like put the ball on the bat and try to hit a hit.
You almost have to
go the other way, dog.
I'm sure, like,
he's thinking homer every time. It's
let me go kill
up.
This thing.
And I'm sure the Cardinals are like, we got to send this dude back down.
Yeah, they probably brought him up. I mean, this is what they were worried about, I'm sure, why they haven't brought him up when people were asking about it.
I mean, there's really nothing like this. There's not, like, you can't, there's no other sport where this would be, you know, there's nothing to compare it to because guys don't get called up and then, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Will they really take their time with dudes now if they're trying to be methodical? Like, Blaze Jordan is batting. He's doing pretty good. He's hitting .250. You know, he's had a couple home runs, 40 hits, 14 runs, playing pretty good baseball. It took him a long time, though. He's 23. Remember, he drafted him right out of high school. So it took him 5 years toiling. You go to Boston, you get traded to the Cardinals. You go AA, AAA Memphis, and then finally he gets a call-up. He's 23 years old. He's been doing this for 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's still so young, but you just worry a little bit now.
Baseball's hard as hell, man. Like, you got to ride buses to Toledo. Even if you get $1 million signing bonus, they still put you on the damn bus to Toledo.
Yep.
We got sponsors that want to step up for the Brad Carson Classic.
Real, hey, you know, I'll be...
I'll put them in touch with you.
Let's go play.
They're behind you.
But we don't want you to be above anybody. We want you to accept the sponsorship money regardless of who it comes from.
Oh, hey, and don't just have private schools out there.
No.
Make it available
all come
for
one,
everybody.
Come on. Okay. We just redid the whole field out in Germantown for the public schools. We made it a service project, Jason.
Excellent.
Yeah, we want that thing. We wanted to all put it back together.
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Let's do it, man. And reach out to Brad. Brad's a baseball man.
Are we doing wood bats or are we doing metal?
I mean,
it's your classic.
Yeah.
I think we got to use wood since it's classic, you know, wood and pro level. Let's use wood.
Well, so it'll be a very low scoring event.
When nobody gets hurt if we got some real ballers out there.
These kids don't play with wood bats.
They do in the summer. A lot of them do. Like Jake played in a league last couple of years, and they try to look at what that looks like, you know.
There's just nothing like the crack of the bat.
It's fun. It is different. It feels good. When you hear it, it is beautiful.
The ding.
The Adam and Eve, Brad Carson classic.
Okay. Hey, we're all about some negligee and some ball.
Well, you know, don't you?
Ball and balls.
Don't you use like material?
Rosin.
Yeah. Rosin or, yeah.
Lube it up.
KY on a bat may not work so well. Hey, a little too over lubricated.
Hey, ump's got to come out there
pitching
and
too.
Fill
yeah,
you
that's
up.
That's that extra stuff.
Don't you have to fill you up? Make sure you ain't got no balls in the. I don't know how it works.
One of my favorite characters is in that major league. Was it Doran? You know, the guy who's like.
The old man?
Yeah, he had the KY studs on the arm, Vaseline behind the ear.
Everything he could use.
Yeah, just
he's going to use it.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
That's my kind of pitcher.
Trying to patch it together.
Hey, we got
stay
one.
In the league.
We got one on board for the Brad Carson Classic, man.
So we got some. We got. Is it going to be Adam and Eve?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, they're behind you. If you, right.
Johnny Rayo let us use the facility. I bet we could probably put it together.
Well, it'll air on WKNO, right?
Lausanne
will host.
I mean,
absolutely.
There's a lot of particulars here. Somebody above my pay grade.
Yeah, but
organizing baseball is hard. By the way, this is a lot of work.
Well, you're the man for the job.
Well, we've already got the hard part figured out. Where we're going to do it and sponsor.
We need a manager to organize this.
Now we just need teams, man. So this is good stuff.
Very exciting.
Real baseball.
And remember, this is for the inner city.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
we don't want you to get cold feet over there because it's for the
I'm all about inner city baseball.
Okay. So there's I don't no want to just see Christian Brothers MUS and Lausanne, you know. Let's get some Melrose baseball out there. Let's get some where'd our man Trey Draper play?
Trey was a Mitchell.
Let's get Mitchell.
Yep, let's go.
Whitehaven has a pretty good ball team.
Fairly used to have a ball team. I don't know if they still do, but they did. Yeah. Fairly's was good.
I like Whitehaven too.
Yeah, we'll get that all going, man. I'm excited. We'll Brad will be announcing updates here soon. All right, we'll come back. Jessica Benson is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about her day at the Memphis football facility. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Very appropriate. Jessica Benson is the dancing queen. And that makes her husband the dancing king. Chris Luther, she has been out at Memphis football practice and the facility all day. And I just have to ask, Jessica, do they know? Do they know out at Memphis
that
football?
They're in the presence of the first couple of the dance? I don't think they know. I don't think they know.
I can tell you I didn't know.
Welcome.
But I found out. I FAFO'd at John Roser's wedding. And I will just... I don't know if you heard what I said and what we talked about, but I'm just curious if my depiction of, you know, the wedding crashers and an hour and a half straight of dancing and taking over the dance floor was accurate in your mind.
I did hear. I think you really nailed it with we're soaking in every last second of life before we have kids. You know, we're in our mid 30s. We can only outrun it for so long. And so when we can go have fun on a wedding dance floor, we're going to take full advantage of the opportunity. And shout out to the DJ at John Roser's wedding, because we are, as the first couple of the dance, we're really picky on wedding DJs. We're really critical on wedding DJs. And I thought the one on Saturday night was awesome.
I'm really curious, is there a rival couple out there for you guys that doesn't have kids, or do you just mash everybody you come in contact with at these weddings? Is there another couple out there in the Memphis area that can challenge you guys?
Man, I'm not sure, but we would love to take challengers. Wow. I think we'd be willing to compete to put it up. I think we have the stamina, the passion, the knowledge of our shortcomings. Neither of us are great line dancers, and we know that. So we don't try to, you know, be something that we're not, especially my husband. Like, let's be completely clear. If there's a tearing here, he is the top billing of this couple on a dance floor. I'm just along for the ride.
I don't know. I think it's you guys go tit for tat.
Thank you.
Man.
I'm honored.
You guys go.
I'm honored to even hang.
Was there a lift? Is there a lift in y'all's act?
No, okay. No. I'm saving that for our Dancing with the Stars next year.
Okay.
Okay. You and me, Jason.
Yep. I'm
so
still,
we can win.
I am in the weight room right now getting ready.
Are you guys
perfect?
We discussed it while you were out, John.
Oh,
we
okay.
Did.
Okay. So you guys have agreed.
Yeah, sorry you missed this. We're competing next year. They haven't asked us, but we've decided.
Well, I can honestly say, having seen it up close, I mean, my first choice would be Chris and Jessica, but if Chris can't do it,
they're not going to let a husband and wife team
okay.
do it.
Yeah.
It feels like a cheat.
Yeah. I mean, if you have Jessica on your team as a day, like, congrats, man. I mean, you're gonna win. Another honor that I did hand out, as you know, maybe in the running for Roser Dance Floor MVP, was Devin Walker.
He 1,000%.
He was out there relentlessly. I mean, I think that's really, it, to me, it's about time spent on the dance floor as much as anything else. I'm not really looking at your moves. It's like, but Devin was committed.
Yes, and he was teaching young Louis Parrish some moves here and there. I think young Lou left Roser's wedding a much better dancer. He already had the like the tenacity, the chutzpah to get himself in there. But Devin was coaching him up and teaching him some new moves. So I think I would be concerned for future, you know, school dances. I think he will be the MVP of those, thanks to Devin. Devin like controlled the dance floor. We actually had a pretty solid GCM showing. We had one of my coworkers, Deshaun. One of my other coworkers, Steven, was in a boot because he rolled his ankle, and he was still out there. So we really kept the floor alive. I was proud of us as a collective unit.
Yeah.
Where was Bennett?
Bennett was in the back. Bennett was chilling in the back. But he was, you know, his spirit lifts everything. Him and his lovely wife were kind of like watching from afar. I did find it interesting because I think Chris and I were on the upper side of like the age range of the dance floor. To speak to your point of like phasing out once you have kids, like most of the parents were standing around watching the
just
dance floor,
y'all.
And Chris and I were still committed. And I think Devin's maybe 2 years younger than me, so we're still in the space where we can like switch into that age demographic. But I don't know. I don't know how much longer we have.
Yeah, I'll be.
It's really cool.
Totally mortified by the entire thing. So.
John's been talking about it ever since it happened on this show.
No, I mean, I mean, again, it's like
blew him away.
The length, like I'm like you were song after song after song.
You
after
can't
song
find
after
the
song.
Words.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. Not dance. I mean, just go talk to people. But
I think it's y'all stamina, Jessica.
Yeah. We had talked to people for like 3 hours, and then it's time to dance. You know.
I mean, I think there's just a
time
certain
to dance.
I think it just it says a lot about, you know. I don't ever go to weddings with the intention of dancing. Like, I don't do that. So I think
it's not like I go thinking, oh man, I can't wait to dance tonight. But then once it happens, I think it's so enjoyable.
Absolute cap. There's no way that you don't go to every wedding with the dead set intention on dancing your ass off. Because I saw it. I saw it for an hour and a half straight.
I just don't, there's no choice. This isn't a choice I have. If the music starts to play, I'm going to dance. There is a song in my heart.
I love that.
I think there should be a statue of you and Chris outside of that venue. I think that's how good that. And again, I know people don't, you know, it's inside baseball because it was a very exclusive guest list, wasn't it, Jessica?
Yeah. So very. Us and our closest 100 friends?
Yeah. So I know people don't like, you know, hearing about it because not everybody got the invite.
Brad and I lost out on the fun.
It is what it is. Yeah. Everybody can't get the invite. Everybody also can't get the invite to Memphis football's facility today. Grand City Media got that invite.
What a transition.
What can you tell us? What did we learn today out there at the Memphis football facility?
Well, I was out there for my show, and we were able to have both Hannah Hayden, the Memphis women's basketball coach, on, and then Brooks Monaghan, low-key, the legend of Memphis sports at this point, in his 27th season as the head coach of the Memphis women's soccer team, winningest program in this city in the last 2 decades, hands down, no questions asked. And then we also had one of his players, Finley Lavin, who's the 2-time Defender of the Year in the American. She was ranked in the official soccer player rankings as a top 10 player in college soccer this year. So she came on our show, which was very cool. And then for the rest of the day, I think Gary Parrish was out there with Dr. Ed Scott, and their interview's just wrapping up. Charles Huss is going to be on the Vernon Show at noon. So it's always a fun time to be able to go out, and this is our second year doing it. I'm always blown away by the facilities. They have a lot of construction continuing to go on, but it's just from the time I arrived in Memphis in 2016, when that building was like fresh and just kind of getting started, to now having the indoor facilities, the weight room, everything that's happened since then is really awesome to see.
What are you telling yourself in terms of expectations for this Memphis football team? Because it's kind of weird in most of most coaches' first year, you'd like to, you would say, and you would set the table, well, transition year, you want to see progress, right? And but you're certainly not going to say, well, you got to go out and win the conference title game or make the conference title game. But this feels different based on where Memphis is and basically what it hadn't done in that Ryan Silverfield era. Where would you put expectations for Charles Huff in his first season?
Yeah, I think that's – I asked someone in the facility today. I said, so what should my expectations be for this year? And I think there's a lot of hope. Yes, there's so much turnover and such a new roster with over 70 new faces. But a lot of those guys who came with Charles Huff from Southern Miss creates at least some semblance of continuity, both with guys who know how to play with each other and also what Coach Huff's system is all about. And so I think that'll be helpful. And also the Memphis football program is just in a healthy place. Like, I know it's been disappointing the last few years, not getting to a conference championship game, not winning a conference championship. But when you look at group of six schools that feel to be in a healthy spot financially, resource-wise, and with reasons to be excited for the future in having a head coach with Charles Huff, who has certainly won this offseason, I think it lends you to believe, hey, sure, realistically, anytime there's that much new, you should rationally allow yourself some room for maybe it's not conference championship or bust, but you can certainly believe and you can certainly convince yourself. Obviously, the thing we're all looking at now is this quarterback battle, which seems like it really is still a battle between Stokes and Nolan. And so that'll be the next real big thing to be decided. But as I understand it, there's a few position battles still playing out over the next couple weeks.
I kind of struggle with like even how to evaluate. I'll be honest, like, and I'm not talking about this game. I'm talking about just this season for Charles Huff, because on the one hand, it is his first season on the job, and you know, it's just hard to expect anything from somebody's first season on the job. But it's also an extremely urgent time for Memphis, in that, you know, you have these wheels of realignment constantly turning. You have this big year of 2030, maybe even before that, 2029, when negotiations start. So if you know, how is the, like, how serious and how, I don't want to say hard, but, you know, just how harshly should any Memphis football coach be graded given resources and given the urgency of the situation over there with the athletic department?
What's the old woodenism? Is it like rush but don't hurry? Because that's how it feels. It's, you know, there is a sense of urgency, and you do need this
be
team
quick,
to not
but don't hurry.
Yep, yeah, be wooden. Quick but don't hurry. There that's we right. go. And I think that's, you know, as meta as that can be to actually put into practice, I think it's a good reminder for all. Even if this year does not lend itself to being an undefeated season, the clear dominating force in the American, continuing to make the incremental steps forward where, one, you're not falling off from a brand perspective, the resources are continuing to be poured in there, and the aggressive approach of trying to find a way out of the American Athletic Conference stays at the forefront. But I'm with you. That's where I really struggle going into it, because, you know, I'm an optimistic realist. And until we see this team on the field, it's harder than ever to evaluate a team in the offseason and in the preseason, right? Like, the AP Top 25 comes out yesterday, and I know I'm by far not the only voice to say this, but it's so silly that we have these preseason rankings at this point, because there's so much turnover and there's so much unknown. And the odds of a team being exactly what we think they'll be going into a year are pretty few and far between. So that certainly applies for Memphis. I think having the opportunity for these two games against UNLV and Boise State in the first 3 weeks of the season will tell a lot and will help our expectation meter know what to look at this year. But it will be a year of trying to trust the process while also hoping that process certainly doesn't take too long for the sake of trying to exit the AAC as quickly as possible.
No, abandon is exactly right.
Abandon's fine, yeah.
Look at these folks. Whatever the hell happened.
He made that clear to me.
Yeah. Talking to Jessica Benson, Grind City Media, Grizz Radio Network here on the show. And then there was a nice piece up at ESPN.com from the NBA insiders about the future of, you know, the first round and all these rookies. And it was great to see Cam Boozer was basically, you know, one or two in a lot of these categories in terms of making an all-NBA team, you know, winning a championship. Just how nice is it to see, you know, the future for the Grizzlies sort of be seen as bright as it is by the national media?
Yeah, somebody over at the U of M today pulled me aside. I was like, so be honest, what are the vibes with the Grizzlies right now? And my honest answer was, developmentally and opportunities for the future, I think they're sky high. And a lot of that falls into just the perceived both floor and ceiling. We talked a lot about floor and ceiling during the draft process, and that can become a little bit nauseating. But it is the case with Cam Boozer. He is a proven winner. The upside of what he can be as a not just franchise cornerstone, but a potential face of this team and someone who has an incredibly long winning career in the NBA, you see the path forward for him. And so even as you enter a season where there's so much youth, again, with the unknown of how this group is going to come together and what things will look like this year, you put the three-year plan ahead in your eyesight and you can say, I have so many reasons to be encouraged about the direction that this team is moving forward through. And a lot of that falls on Boozer.
Yeah, great stuff. Jessica, not just today, but over the weekend.
Thank you so much.
And again,
thank you.
Please pass it along to your husband as well, because men don't get compliments, right? That's just And you know this because you probably don't give them to your man. So
I do. I've told him everyone who has been complimentary of his dance moves. So I've made sure that the people know he was sore on Sunday.
I would be shocked if he wasn't. The way that rug was getting cut, no doubt. Have a great rest of your week, Jessica.
Thank you, Jess.
Too. Bye.
Jessica Benson, Grind City Media. Again, it's just sometimes you witness special performance, generational even, and that happened. You know, seeing Russell Westbrook get his 200th career triple-double in Memphis, that was cool.
He used to be a dancer, too, with Campaign.
He did.
Speaking of the
dancing. That whole thing at that handshake line.
Yep.
And you don't mess it up. Because it's a thing. Anyway, thanks, Jessica Benson, for joining us on the show. We'll come back, wrap this thing up on a Tuesday. J&J, not even turn off him yet. Oh, we got something, speaking of a good time, happening at Robert Irwin Jewelers and the Diamond Showroom of Perkins Extended. It's a 60% off sale for 6 hours. It's the real deal. It's a real 60% off sale. So for 6 hours, starting at 10 a.m. this Saturday, you get 60% off anything in the showcase. That means diamond anniversary bands, diamond rings, diamond pendants, everything 60% off that you see. You're only going to get that in-store at RIJ, 376 Perkins across from Laurel Wood Shopping Center.
That includes name brand watches as well, 60% off, over 1,000 items to choose from. So make sure you get there. And the key to this one, when Howie's got the 60% off sale going on, you want to get there as early as possible. Like John said, open up at 10 a.m. this Saturday, August 22nd, you can take advantage out at the Perkins Extended Store, in-store only. You can visit them at Robert Irwin Jewelers at 376 Perkins across from Laurelwood Shopping Center. The sale starts promptly at 10 a.m., ends at 4 p.m. It is this Saturday only. Come in early to take advantage of the best selection, as Howie puts it, over 1,000 items to choose from. Come in and take advantage. For complete details, visit rijewelers.com or follow them on social media at RI Jewelers.
This is just an amazing reminder of how difficult it is to last and sustain in the NFL. Najee Harris, who of course was great with the Steelers for a season and was a, you know, former great Alabama tailback, he's signing a 1-year deal with the Giants. Tore his Achilles last year with the Chargers. And now he is in New York just trying to hang on as a backup. I guess he and Tyrone Tracy are going to be, you know, fighting for carries there. Because, you know, Cam is going to – I mean, I guess the idea would be he's probably going to get hurt because of the way he runs. But still, I mean, there was a time where, like, when you watched Najee Harris as a rookie there in Pittsburgh, you know, you felt like he was going to be a great NFL running back. And it just – I mean, he made the Pro Bowl, but it just, you know, didn't happen. It didn't happen for him after that.
Didn't Huff have Najee at Alabama?
Sounds right.
I think I read that.
Yeah.
That's one of the running backs he recruited.
Yeah. Najee hasn't been bad. I mean, it's just the running back position gets so devalued. He had 4 straight years of 1,000 rushing yards. Mm-hmm. But it's like the NFL don't want anything to do with you. You know, it's like you just wash out. And I'm like, if I'm him, I would say, well, what the hell am I supposed to do? I had, you know, I've had double-digit touchdowns, you know, two of my four healthy years in the NFL. You know, I'm only, he can't be that old. 28, I guess, for running back, that is getting up there. But, man, the shelf life for these guys is just non-existent.
Another one fell off quick, Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
Steeler.
He got the deal with the Jets, and that was it. You never heard from him again. He had those 3 or 4 years with Pittsburgh, never got paid.
Yep.
And that was all she wrote. Yeah, I mean, it makes you appreciate guys, you know, who've been doing it forever, like a Christian McCaffrey, although he's hurt.
Is he hurt or is he holding out because he's due $12 or $13 million and compared to where these new guys are at? Now, someone was just asking that question.
Yeah.
Are you saying I'm hurt because all of a sudden you see where these top backs are?
Yeah.
Your numbers compared to theirs, you're not making what they are. That said, you signed that deal a few years ago, did you not?
Yeah.
I think I read it's less than $15 million he's due this year.
Yep.
You compare that to what these other guys are making, I'd be hurt too.
Well, Ian Rappaport said that it's not a conspiracy.
Okay.
So,
well, I trust Ian Rappaport.
Yeah.
Because everybody looked at that and said, well, with what he's due this year, where the market just got set, they could understand him being a little bit perturbed.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you signed that deal.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, you got to wait your turn.
Yeah, who are, like what do you think about, like, the longest tenured running backs in the NFL? It's McCaffrey. I mean, now
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry for sure.
Still going somehow.
I think, like, Jonathan Taylor's putting himself, Saquon.
Jonathan's up there.
Saquon's been around for a long time.
Yep.
Trying to think who else. Who else is in that mix? I mean, you know what?
Weirdly, like Aaron Jones, senior's
Aaron Jones
in
for
there.
Sure.
He's
Aaron
in
Jones,
there.
Yep.
Still
yep.
Weirdly.
He's the starter still.
Yep.
So, Aaron Jones definitely. But there just aren't a ton of guys that, you know, that last five, six. I mean, Josh Jacobs, you would say, but I don't know where his situation is.
Yeah, right now he's up in the air.
Yeah, he's in practice, but there's some weird stuff going on with that. So,
I think he might be hearing from the NFL. I thought I was hearing something like that. Didn't he have off?
He
had off the field
did.
Issue or something.
Yeah, he definitely
something's
did.
Something's going on. Yeah.
And I don't think that's been ruled on yet.
Right.
And he was arrested in May, and booked on 5 domestic battery related charges.
Yeah, I think they're waiting to hear from the NFL.
Yeah.
And what if he's crossed that line, that player conduct line.
Yeah. I don't know if it was felony or I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they are on the charges or what they ended up
one
being.
One felony count of strangulation and suffocation, 4 misdemeanor counts. So, I mean, the NFL just does not play about that stuff in 2026. Like, even if you get those things dismissed, it's like the old NFL would say, if you get those dismissed, you know, you don't get. But now it's like, even if you get them dismissed, reduced, whatever, you still get 3, 4, 5 games. Who was it? Pierce. Pierce had them all dismissed, and he still got 8 games because that domestic stuff, the stuff with the women. The NFL took such a bad a hit to its reputation over the years, you know, for not handling that stuff appropriately.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now they're making up for it. Anyway, Najee Harris, 1-year deal with the New York Giants. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Jessica Benson. Thanks to Steve Cofield for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and Company, I'm next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.